I'm Jim with two M's, married to Pinky, easy to remember. God is using a small part of my body to humble me. So Pinky, and we have Rain, Summer, Ice, and Sky, our kids' names, and they have the stories to tell about their names regarding or pointing to God. But as I said, my name is Jim with two M's, because it's easy to remember, because J-I-M-M means Jesus is my Messiah. J-I with two M's. Jim with two M's. Because sometimes this is one of the privileges, maybe you don't know this. I'm Australian. I'm Australian by passport. And if you are an Australian citizen, you are allowed or you have the right or the privilege to change your name. So I legalized that name. I added a single M, so that I can share my faith, because going back when we migrated to Australia 2006, so more than 13 years ago, when I was working in the hospital as an assistant nurse, I'm not allowed to share my faith. But I am allowed to share my name, of course. So I'll put my name, a big name, Jim with two M's. But it started back when I saw myself standing in the middle of working in the middle of the hospital. As some of you are working in the hospital, I think Jasmine is working as a nurse. And you can see that nursing home or hospital is a community within the community, right? So you see people every day, almost the same. Like a Truman Show, you are there. So you are seeing familiar faces. With this one, I said, Lord, why am I here? How can I create an impact for you? Because I only have few minutes contact of connection with the patients. And how can I make an impact for Christ? Because I want to count this little tiny life of mine for eternity. So I've been praying for that and looking for ways how I can be used by God in this simple way of lifestyle of working. Because every one of us are working. So when I was there, I said, I've been praying and asking the Lord. All of a sudden, I didn't hear an audible voice from the Lord, but it seems like, use your name. What's my name? I'm Jim. J-I-M. Or Jimbo. Oh, then all of a sudden, J-I-M, Jesus is miraculous. So when you are in the hospital and you are one of the patients, you will maybe ask the patient, and hey, Kay, how are you doing? Kay, my name is Jim, J-I-M. And you will say, oh yeah, I know. No. Kay, J-I-M means Jesus is miraculous. One of the patients that I've been talking, she said, oh, I love miracle, but I don't like Jesus. And I said, no. You know what? You cannot separate the one who performs a miracle, because they don't believe in Jesus, but they want the miracle because of their situation. And I said, that's a time that I will explain to them. Because, I just love miracle. But I said, you know what? The greatest miracle of all is for you to get right with God. For you to be changed like Jesus. And that's a time that I think I said to my wife, it is so effective. That's why I will keep on using that J-I-M. And one time in the hospital, when I was assigned that night in emergency, and I shared my name or the gospel, that's an introduction to one of the patients, I said, John, I think his name is John. I'm Jim, J-I-M. Jesus is miraculous. And I think he's not that, he's groggy, as he's like in pain. But after my shift that night, in the morning, I was assigned in ICU, and he called me, come here. And he says, I know there's something in you, like you are like Jesus, right? No, I'm Jim, J-I-M. It's Jesus is miraculous. And he said, yeah, yes, I remember now. Jesus is miraculous. So that's a time that I've been practicing that and rehearsing that to the point that I told my wife when she was washing the dishes and I'm watching the telly, hey, why not change it to double M? And she says, no, it's corny, it's too much. Don't change it. No, because I'm a citizen now, I'm a sovereign citizen, and I saw here that you can change your name and to legalize it. But when you legalize your name, it will take you five weeks because you will apply, and then as you apply, they will interview you, they will ask you, why are you changing your name? Maybe there's a fraud or there's something there. And then that's the time, after 5 weeks at least, they will approve it. So one time I was there in Parramatta when we were in Sydney and change names or death, birth and death registry. The guy is laughing while reading my application. He says, oh, so you're Jesus, huh? I said, no, no, that's why you have a question there. Why are you changing your name? And I said, I'm changing my name because I'm Jim with two M's and I'm buying that one M. That's the most expensive letter in the alphabet, M. Because it cost me $180, I think, that time when I changed that. But he says, oh, so you're Jesus. And I said, no, because I'm changing my name because I'm Jim with two M's. Jesus is my Messiah. And then I explained to him about that. And also, I'm a missionary, so because now Jesus is my message. And Jesus is my miracle, and the greatest miracle of all is for you to get right with God and for you to be changed, to be like Jesus. And after less than 5 minutes, he said, okay. It's like he's overwhelmed and fed up by my explanation about Jesus. Meet me at the cashier. You pay there. So in less than 5 minutes, not 5 weeks, he approved that I'm Jim with two M's. So that's why now, looking back, it's all in my documents, in my ticket when I send the email. My email is jesusismymessiah@yahoo.com.au, because I'm from Australia. When we are looking at this, it came and started, this Jim with two M's started with the question, Lord, how can I create an impact for you, for your name's sake? That's why I want you to bring your attention in the book of John. Because the book of John is where John the apostle, the beloved apostle of Christ, explicitly wrote the reason why he wrote this book of John. So it's John 20, 30 to 31. If you have your Bibles with you, you can open that or you can turn on your laptop or your smartphone, because this is the focus of our study this morning. And I only have two simple outlines. The first one is to know Him and to make Him known. To know Jesus and to make Jesus known. John chapter 20, verses 30 to 31. John speaking here, he said, now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book pertaining to John. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in His name. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, this is Your word, and we are Your people. You have promised to us, Lord, that You are going to give us Your Holy Spirit. And Your Holy Spirit will be our teacher, our comforter, the one who will give us the insights of the depth of Your word, that will encourage, that will comfort us, that will give us hope, that will give us joy, peace that passes all understanding. Will you please, Lord, Father, will you please Open our eyes that we may see the wonders, the wonderful things that comes out from your word. We want to know more, not only about Jesus, but we want to know you more, Jesus. And we want to make you known to the world around us. Father, bless each one of us. And may you reveal yourself through your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. For in his name we pray. Amen. When we are thinking about the passage that we have read, and John himself concluded after this, he gave an epilogue, like a play, like a narrative story. But this is where he's parking his car, his pen, after I have presented to you about Jesus. And this is the reason why I have written this book. That for you and I, for you to know and to believe that Jesus is the Christ. He is the Messiah that you have been waiting for, the Savior, the Son of God. And in believing, you will have eternal life. So maybe you'll be wondering why, what is this many other saints? Because in the Bible, from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the four Gospels account, the account of Jesus Christ, there was like 35 plus, more than 35 accounts of miracles of Christ that were presented, that were written. But for John, it's only like 7 to 8. 7, then the 8th one was the catch of many fish. But for Jesus, he performed those miracles not to amaze the people, not to say, hey, look at me. I am the Son of God, that's why I'm performing this. No, John's perspective or goal or purpose of writing this book is for you and I, for all of us to know him. And also in the end of John, not only for him to know Jesus, but to make Jesus known. Imagine if this book is not written. Wow. There are many things that we're going to miss. Jesus turning water into wine. Jesus healing the blind man. Jesus feeding the 5,000. Jesus walking on the water. Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. And Jesus resurrected from the grave. There are many miracles that Jesus performed so that you and I will believe. We always use this word believe. Just believe and you're going to have eternal life. But what does it mean to believe? Believing means, even in John, the book of John itself, he mentioned 101 times about this word, believe. It's an action word. You have to believe. Jesus was presented as the Son of God. Because in John chapter 1, it says there that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So Jesus was presented as the Son of God, and God the Son. So when we are looking at this, Jesus didn't claim that he is the Son of God. He has proven, he gave an evidence of who he is. The I Ams of Christ was backed up by his miracles. I am the bread of life. I am the gate. I am the good shepherd. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the true vine. Jesus claimed those things for you and I to believe that he is the only one that can satisfy your need, because he's the bread from heaven. He is the only one that can give you light, that can guide you in this path, because he is the light of the world. That's why when we are studying the Bible, when we are looking at this, I don't want you to disregard the Word of God. Because when we are studying the Word of God, this book of the law will not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate it day and night. And we are quoting, your word is a light to my feet, a lamp to my feet, and light to my path. We are quoting that because this is true. This is the one that will guide us. But without Jesus, even if God will give us volumes of the Bible, we are not going to understand what love looks like, what mercy, what grace, what faithfulness means, what justification or righteousness means. Only because of Jesus we can understand, wow, this is grace. I don't deserve it, and yet He gave me eternal life. He gave me pardon. I deserve punishment, and yet because He is merciful, He was the one who got the punishment for me. Jesus embodied the word mercy, the word righteousness, grace, peace, patience, joy. He is our all in all. I'm amazed when we are singing a song a while ago, and it's my first time to meet John, and you chose the right song. What a wonderful name it is, the name of Jesus. I wish I can coordinate with Paul. Hey, Paul, can you please, can I request this song? But it's there, Lord. And it's like the Holy Spirit, the God, the Lord is leading our time together of knowing Him. In our icebreaker time, Pat asked the question, important question, what is the core, main teaching of the Christianity that we can share to the people? I was smiling because I said, that's what I'm going to preach. It's about Jesus. It's about who He is. That's why, let's look at this. The first thing that we could know is in this outline is this: to know Jesus. You will say, hey Jim, I know Jesus. Really? Or you know about Him? Because if I will tell, you know my wife? Yeah, I've heard of Pinky. Yeah. But I'm the one who can explain who she is. But don't worry, I'm not going to tell. Because it's all good. Because, okay, it will fire back to me. Oh no, I can tell who Jim is. But this one, because we have this time of intimacy, we have these years of walking together on this planet Earth. That's why when you say, oh, I know Jesus, try to think again and rethink that question. Do you really know Him? Because knowing Jesus will transform, will change your life. It will radically, totally change your life. No wonder when I was there, back 15 years ago, almost 15 years ago in the Philippines. And I'll say, like, we're going to migrate to Australia. It's okay. But no, coming from the third world, from the Philippines, to be in Australia, it's like, wow. A land with flowing with milk and Vegemite. Yeah. And honey. And when you are seeing that, like, this is a blessed country. You know Sydney, right? That's a country. And then here is a different country, Tasmania. And it's like totally different. But I'm so blessed to be there. Now I said I can raise my kids, my family. It's a greener pasture. So now I can focus on working hard so that I'll be able to provide a good future for my family. But only to realize that no, God didn't send me and my family to Australia to have a greener pasture, to have a good life, have better life. Because in Christ we have life already. Jesus said, I come that you might have life and that you might have it more to the full, abundantly. And if you are looking for an abundant life or more exceeding, overflowing life, without Jesus, you cannot find it. Jesus is the only one who can give you life because He is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through Jesus Christ. So that's why when I was there, of course, as migrants, who are the migrants here? Well, only a few of you. And then others are born or raised in Australia, right? But when you look at this, as migrants, especially coming from the third world, we are looking for a greener pasture, better life. So that's why many migrants like us are excelling in the foreign land because we work more, we work double. And those who are born here, like, they're relaxed, like, this is the comfort zone. Why will I work so hard if everything is being provided? So I just work, just a normal one. Why will I exert more effort? Because when there is abundance, we take things for granted, right? We have water everywhere. When we were in Sydney, we're not allowed to wash our car in the garage, outside the garage. You need to use the bucket. But here, maybe you can put the car inside there or dive. It's like everywhere. The water is everywhere. The supply of water. But I was reminded by one of my professors. He said, Jim, every time you drink water, remember the source. Not the Tasmanian water, right? The source is God. And Jesus claimed that He is the spring of living water. He is the one who provides life. So when we are going back to ask this question, do we really know Him? We should really pay attention and examine ourselves whether we really know Him. Why? John himself said, because in this, you will know that you will have eternal life. Just come to think of that. Without Jesus, there's no life. More so, there's no life eternal. No eternal life. That's why they are asking, the Pharisees are asking, what is the work of God that we may believe? And Jesus himself said, to know the Son of God, to know Him. Him that was being sent by God. To know Jesus is the work of God. When we are thinking about Jesus, it's like water here in Tasmania. He's so common, especially many of you who grew up in the Christian world. That's why last night when I was just, we are doing the fellowship time, and I told my wife, I'm still thinking, praying, Lord, how can I bless, how can I be a channel of blessing to this place, to these people who has blessed us so much? And I said, I'm not going to teach them or present to them about Christianity, so they know Christianity. We go to church, we give our offerings, we partake communion, we sing songs, we tell the people Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. We pray, we read our Bible. But I don't want to focus on that, which I'm not saying it's not good. It is. But if we are forgetting why we are doing this, it is because of Jesus. We are going to die slowly in our faith. We're not going to grow. I used to go to the gym, and I, at the age of 43 last year, I said, I'm going to attend the intense training for six weeks. 6 o'clock in the morning, so I need to wake up around 5:15 to be there around 6 o'clock. And I said, like, this is my goal, to have this six packs. Because I have two packs. So I need to go, I need to do this, I need to wake up, like waking up in the morning. And then after a few weeks, I said, wow, at first there's no result. But I keep on doing that. And they said, trust the program. It works. Trust the program. So after 5 weeks, that's the time, oh, I'm seeing it. I'm seeing the result. One become two, three, four. And then I stop after six weeks. I thought it will be there permanently. And it's like they're forming again. They're all scattered like islands, and then they are forming again.
One island.
Now to become a mountain. Because I thought all I have to do is to do it once. That's why with our Christianity, sometimes when you are listening to the teaching of the Bible, especially in the Sunday school, oh, I know that. Oh, Nicodemus, I know that. Bartimaeus, I know that. But do we really know the reason why it was placed in the Bible? If I'm going to summarize Genesis to Revelation in one or two sentences, it will this be. God, good God, created a perfect world, but man sinned, and God wants to save his creation through his Son by the power of the Holy Spirit for his glory. Or maybe three sentences or four sentences. But God, a holy God, wants to save his creation through his Son by the power of his Holy Spirit for his glory. That's why every page in the scripture, you can see there Jesus. From Genesis until Revelation, then he was presented as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of the Father. Every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. And you are so confident. I'm secure. I don't need to bow down before him. He is my Lord already. No, every one of us will acknowledge that Jesus is Lord. That Jesus is the Son of God. That he is our all in all. Now, I just want to go a bit deeper. Deeper in the sense that if you really know him, I know that it will transform you, but it will also change your perspective in life. You will desire to make him known. Knowing Jesus is the first step, and the second one is you cannot help it, but it will overflow. Many of you are cooking, right? And some of others are cooking. And there are times when you are cooking, you cannot help it, but the aroma of what you're cooking is like all over the place. It's like even though the door is closed, like you can smell it. We used to have an Indian neighbor, and we can smell the curry. Like, wow, all I have to do is to bring out the rice and then eat there. Because it's like the aroma is so powerful that, wow. Have you seen a man or woman who's a follower of Jesus that you cannot help it but to see Jesus there? And others who are declaring that they are followers of Jesus, and you will say, are you really a follower of Jesus? That's why there was a saying, I like the Jesus, but I don't like the followers of Jesus. Because sometimes we are saying the talk, but our walk are not in line with our talk. When I have decided this, I told my wife, I'm going to legalize this name, Jim with two M's. I know what will cost me. Not only the $180, but the moment I will tell them that I am Jim with two M's. That Jesus is my Messiah. That Jesus is my Master. People will watch my life. And others will use it. Oh, Christian, why are you doing this? Oh, Christian, why are you... As if we are not allowed to make a mistake. As if we need to live a perfect life. But Jesus is not saying that. He wants us to be a light and a salt. Light is the first thing that the lights will do is to shine. Lights are creating sound. Technically, it's not, it's just like the sun there. You don't hear it, but you see. The light gives light, heat. The same thing for the Christians, for us. That's why one time, when I have this moment with the Lord and I've been praying for an open door, I said, Lord, this is the day that I'm going to work for you. Because I thought saying yes to the Lord means I'm going to work for Him. I'm going to work with Him. And then only to realize, hey, wait a minute, wait. How can I help someone? How can I work with someone or for someone who is all powerful than me? Who is all knowing, who is all wise, who is all everywhere? How can I help such kind of God? He doesn't need my help. Only to realize that He called me not to work for Him. He has chosen me so that He can work through me. Just a channel. I'm just a channel. We are all channels of God's grace. I was talking to Matt last night and he said, you know what? God placed you in each one of you who are working in secular, we call it secular, but in the Lord's perspective, everything is sacred, everything is His. We are the ones who compartmentalize things, but for Him, it's all in one. That's all God's. So, but we are placed in the hospital, we are placed in accounting, in the business, we are placed, Christians are placed everywhere so that we can show who Jesus Christ is through our lives. And we are the open Bible to those who don't read the Bible. We interpret to them. We define to them who Jesus Christ is. So when we are placed in a situation like you'll say, I'm the only Christian, praise the Lord, because you have a mission. In our marriage, Pink and I were married for 17 years, right? And for 17 years, we moved 21 times in 3 countries, 2 states. And we can say we're tired. Our kids were protected in the bubble, wherein when we arrived to Melbourne, before when we were in America, they were homeschooled. So it's like they know the lingo, they know the language of Christianity. And they are being taught with the words, the things of God. And then when we moved to Melbourne, they were in a Christian school. So that's why even the people, they know, it's like they are saying the same language, the same words. But when we moved our 20th move, they were in a state school in Melbourne, one of our kids said, Dad, I think I'm the only Christian there. At the age of 13 or 12 at that time. Or 11, she said, she corrected me, 11. And I said, why? Because the way they behave, the way they talk, the way, really? Are you sure that you're the only Christian? And then I told her, you know what? That's the reason why God placed you there. Mom and Dad are not the only one who has a mission. You have a mission there. But I don't want her to be in trouble. That's why don't I'm not saying don't preach. Don't tell your dad's name is Jim with two M's and then explain it. No, they know the pitch. They know that why Jim with two M's, because Jesus performed many miracles in the presence of his disciples so that you will believe that Jesus is the Messiah. Now, I said, you need to be a light to them. And what does it mean? You need to show to them what we believe by our action, by our good deeds, by being kind, by being gentle. So that's why I said, even in your studies, they need to know that you are excelling because God is helping you and you are giving your best and you are using your hard work so that you can give God the glory. People are excelling during the times of Christianity when they were persecuted, but even though they are in the status of, some of them are in the status of slavery, they are giving their best to the master. Because that's what they have been taught by Paul. Slaves, obey your master. Not for their sake, but for the Lord's sake. So God has placed each one of you, each one of us, in different entities or institution or workplaces because He wants us to shine there. So no wonder, when I'm thinking about this, now that I know Him and I cannot help it but to tell the people about Jesus, I said, Lord, use me. I know I'm not allowed to share my faith in the hospital, so I intentionally put J-I-double-M, and then every time I will help the patient, hey, Andrew, I'm Jim with two M's. And then maybe Andrew will just, yeah, okay. No, no, I'm Jim with two M's. And I want you to ask, why two M's? And then that's the time. Because that time, I didn't know that that lady will change the course of my life. Lorraine was suffering from breast cancer. She has been in and out from the hospital. The husband, the kids, or grown up daughter, and sister-in-law are always there in the hospital. And one time, I'm just there smiling, and then, hey, Lorraine, her name is Lorraine, and I said, I'm Jim with two M's. And I said, the pitch that I've said. Long story short, Lorraine committed her life to the Lord on her sick bed with John, her husband, and two daughters, and then the sister-in-law gave their life to the Lord. I said, Lord, I'm so amazed by that. Because of this crazy Asian guy said, I just want to create an impact for Christ. That was the time that I led them to prayer, and we have a good relationship. Remember, she's been in and out from the hospital. And one time, that was the time that I met John in the corridor of the hospital, and he said, Lorraine is gone. She died that day when I met John, and then, but you know what, Jim? I know that Lorraine will be happy for you to speak at her funeral. It was the first time for me to speak in the English-speaking people. That was a time that only Pinky and our three kids are all black hair and the rest are white, red, and blonde. Totally different. Standing in front, explain to them about our interaction, how I've met Lorraine, how I've shared Jesus to her, and why I am confident, why I am sure that she is in heaven now, not because of her religion, not because of her good work, but because of Jesus. that was a time when I can say, Lord, I'm available. I just want you to use this tiny little life of mine. I want this to count for eternity. We are saying only one life will soon be passed, but only what's done for Christ will last. So why not take it literally as your slogan, as your battle cry? Only one life. And it is enough if you will use it for the glory of God. We're not looking for the length of it, but the quality of life that you have surrendered to the Lord. I said, Lord, even if I will apply to IBM or big company or Telstra, they will not accept me because I'm not excellent in their eyes. But even though, Lord, I know that I'm not excellent in your eyes, I am precious because I was bought by the blood of Jesus. What can wash my sin away? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Who can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. It's all about Jesus. We are seeing that. We are saying that. But the question right now for us is, are we living that out? Are we creating an impact where we are in the small, tiny community in Hobart? Or even in your family? I know it's not easy. It's not easy to be as crazy as Jim with two M's. I know that. I struggle with expressing my thoughts in English. But I said, Lord, no one wants to use me, but I know that you are the one who will use me because the greatest ability that I have is my availability. I'm just available. No, there's no taker. Lord, take me, use me, burn me so that people around us will see that Jesus is the one who can take the ordinary into extraordinary. I'm not there yet. I'm still asking the Lord, Lord, please use me. How can I be a channel of blessing in these people here in Hobart? I don't want to be comfortable. I don't want to say, even my wife can attest, hey, your English is getting better. But no, I know that I need to study more. I have this program in mind that I will do at least one new vocabulary each day. So that maybe at the end of the year, I have at least 300 new vocabularies. Because there are times that I'm paranoid about what is the Tagalog, what is the English of this Tagalog word. But it gives me the confidence that He is with me, that He is with you, that He will never leave you nor forsake you. That was His promise. He says, as you go into all the world and disciples all nations, I will be with you. I will never leave you. And in my life, since I said yes to the Lord, He has never forsaken me. Because He is true to His word. So that's why as we go to this passage, beautiful passage, looking back, maybe if you are in your Bible still, or maybe if you know the account. This was the account before John mentioned that now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of His disciples. Before that, in the previous verses there, in 24 to 29, that was the account of Thomas. We always say Thomas is the doubter. No, it says that Thomas the twin. You're not a doubter, Thomas. You are twin, or the Didymus means what it means. But he made this seemingly doubting Thomas declare the profound, more profound on what, even profounder, if there's a word, profounder, English teacher, profounder. Any claim it's wrong and right? Profounder. Then what Peter said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of God. Peter was told or confirmed by Jesus, not because you have seen it, Peter, but it is because of the Father. But for Thomas, the declaration is so powerful. He says, "My Lord and my God." Is Jesus your Lord? Is He your God? Why is it that there are times that we are ashamed of Him? We can be proud of sharing Jesus in this circle, because no one will throw rock or stone at us. How about on the outside? I'm not saying you just put the big signboard, "Jesus is the way," or you will just stand there in Salamander.
Salamanca.
Salamanca. Salamanca. Still my English. Salamanca. I don't want you to raise your banner there about Jesus, but I want you to shine where you are. God is not done with you. If His goal is for you to be with Him in heaven, and that's it, you should be on the cross like the thief on the cross. "Today you will be with me in paradise." But no, you and I are still alive. Because God wants us to shine. God wants us to let the world know that Jesus is the Son of God, that He is the one who can give us life, that He is the Savior of the world. Unless you will tell them, no one will know that Jesus is Lord. And you are the perfect, in the perfect place wherein you can tell them, "Hey, it is because of Jesus, that's why my marriage is thriving. It was shaky, but because I keep on asking the Lord, and my wife and I have been working so hard, we want to have the testimony, the good testimony that we as followers of Jesus will not give up. We're going to testify the goodness of God. We want to thrive in our business, in our relationship, because we want to show to the world that Jesus is the one, the Lord our God is the one that we are representing here. That's why I know that there is a purpose. Hope is in Hobart because you need to shed, you need to scatter, you need to bring hope to the hopeless. I remember a pastor said, if you are looking to help, to reach out the people, preach about hope and you'll never run out of audience. Hope, the word itself. Hope. We have this blessed hope because we have Jesus. And my challenge and encouragement to you is, if you will let God use you, He will use you beyond what your eyes can even imagine. It's totally mind-blowing. It's totally beyond how you are expecting your life. But if you are thinking of using your life so that you can prepare for the rainy days, so you use that, "I will work so hard here, and then when I'm ready, I am financially well off now, Lord, I can serve you." Sorry to say this, but there is a parable when Jesus said to that rich guy, "Thou fool, because I'm going to require your soul from you." But for us, even if we are working so hard in our business, we can glorify God. "Lord, you are my partner," or "I am your partner. I know that you are going to use this hard-earned money so that your kingdom will advance. I'm working so hard. I'm raising my kids so hard because I want them to know you, so that in raising them, they will be also become agents of change, bringing hope to the people. And we need to exemplify that to our kids. And we are so blessed to have kids around here. So if they can talk right now, can they say, my nana or my parents are really full on of following Jesus? Because Jesus is their master. Jesus is their all in all. I know right now there are times that I'm not thinking about Jesus. I'm just thinking of getting by in this life. Life is so hard. Life is so tough. Yeah, I know. I have 4 kids. I know that. Life is so tough. That's why Jesus is the one, still, as you read the scriptures, he's the one who said, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Cast all your cares upon me, because I care. So with this, I close that as we continue to allow God to work in and through us, don't forget that you are not on your own, because He promised that He is with you, that He will never leave you nor forsake you. Why? Because He promised that He will be with you and He will accomplish it. Not for your good only, but more so for His greater glory. And I'm looking forward later on this afternoon how we can know Him more so that we can make Him known all for His glory.